Chapter 23, The Women. Late Monday morning, the 28th day of May, 1923, was going to be another West Texas blue sky day. Throughout Pearl's parlor, the sweetness of piano music filled the morning air. Harmony especially liked to play the shiny black Steinway when everyone was having coffee. The girls had entertained the cowboys all weekend, and their manly presence still lingered with an overall feeling of contentment and satisfaction. The girls had shown the boys a good time, and as usual, the young women had enjoyed themselves as well. The cowboys' visit was the topic for girl talk as they reminisced over the events of the weekend. Lucy, Heather, Maggie, Ginger, and Redbird were all reflecting.
I like the way they walk.
I like the way they talk.
I like the way they say baby in the heat of passion.
Yeah, like baby, 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 baby.
I got to spend some time with Johnny Ray. Whew. That man is an athlete. He lifted me up and... Whew.
I wonder if they talk about us like we talk about them.
For the most part, the weekend had gone well. Betsy had fallen for another cowboy, and Katie only had one small incident with Jesse having a little too much to drink. Maggie, confronting him, had taken charge of the situation, and Jesse had awakened a happy man.
Jesse's not a bad guy. He just gets a little worked up. Believe me, we put all that healthy energy to good use. All he needed was a little TLC and me.
All of a sudden, Harmony broke out in song.
There's a yellow rose in Texas that I am gonna see. Nobody else could miss her, not half as much as me. She cried so when I left her, in life too broke my heart. And if I ever find her, we never more will part. She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle. You may talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl for me.
Truly a feel-good moment, Katie took it upon herself to educate the girls with some Texas trivia.
Hey everyone! Did you know that it was a woman who was responsible for saving the great state of Texas? Some call it a legend, but I believe that it's true.
Are you talking about Emily Morgan?
Yes, ma'am. The Yellow Rose of Texas was written in 1836 after the battle in San Jacinto during the days of the Texas War of Independence. Several weeks before, Santa Anna had gone on a rampage and attacked the Alamo. 185 Texans gallantly held down the fort for almost 2 weeks, fighting off over 3,000 Mexican soldiers. Davy Crockett was there. The Texans didn't have a chance, but before they all died, they sure gave Santa Anna a good fight. A few weeks later, the son of a bitch killed over 300 unarmed prisoners in Goliad. Then he took his man to Galveston to loot the city. That's where he met Miss Emily Morgan, a sexy young mulatto slave. Santa Anna was enchanted by her beauty, and after some negotiation, he took Miss Emily with him.
How did she save Texas?
She had talents, womanly talents. She knew the art of seduction. Several weeks after the Alamo, Santa Anna's army was camped in San Jacinto. Somehow, Miss Emily was able to get word to Sam Houston about an appropriate time to attack the camp. She told him she would make sure El Presidente was busy. On April 21st, 1836, General Santa Anna retired to his tent with some opium and the very sexy Emily, while the rest of the soldiers in his camp took a siesta.
Sounds like Santa Anna wasn't thinking with his brain.
Miss Emily must have been quite a woman. Although Santa Anna was usually a stickler for details, she obviously distracted him with her charms. While she was keeping him busy in the tent, the Texans attacked the camp, yelling, "Remember the Alamo! Remember Goliad!" 18 minutes later, the battle was over and the Mexican army surrendered.
Wow, that's amazing.
Here's the best part. Santa Anna was captured the next day in his underwear. Pretty fancy silky underwear at that. He was really embarrassed.
So why is this song about a yellow rose?
Sometimes when the Negroes and the white people make babies, their children's skin has a yellowish tint. They're called mulatto.
Lots of mulattoes in New Orleans. Okay, I get it. I guess it was Miss Emily's self-appointed mission to make sure the general was caught with his pants down. That took some kind of courage. I would have liked to have known her.
I'll bet she was a hell of a woman. What happened to her?
No one really knows. But the yellow rose of Texas is the only gal for me. Save the great state of Texas, she did.
I like your story, Katie. Many times throughout history, a woman has been responsible for a great event that has turned things around. Unfortunately, most of those stories we will never know. Let's go for a ride, girls. I want to go to Cristoval and sit in the mineral springs at the bathhouse. Mosella and Emma Grace can fix us a picnic. Annabelle loved going to Cristoval. She had bought her mother and Julie Maria house there.
That's a great idea. I'll call Mama to bring my little Julie Marie over to the picnic.
I will bring some yarn and teach her how to make yarn dolls. She's such a sweet little girl. Sarah especially liked the baths in Cristoval.
I always feel so good after soaking in the springs.
Maggie puts sunshine on everything.
It's a great day for it. It's Monday. And there probably won't be a lot of people we have to deal with. Sometimes I forget that I'm not supposed to know people I see when we're out in public. Even the slightest look can sometimes get me in trouble.
Miss Pearl agreed. You are right, Maggie. Keeping secrets is part of what we do. Everyone who wants to go, be ready in half an hour. This will give us a few hours at the springs. We can be home before dark. Mondays were good days for the girls to take excursions. The rest and relaxation rejuvenated the girls after the weekend with the cowboys. And Miss Pearl understood the importance of shifting focus and letting the ladies have some downtime. Miss Pearl's taking her girls in public was always quite a show. When her girls piled into the touring cars and rode around town, it was like a parade. Ginger and Maggie and Katie, the designated drivers, all kept guns under their seats, except for Katie, who usually brought her rifle. Pearl insisted that the girls stay together like a family. There is always safety in numbers, girls. I prefer that you do not wander off anywhere alone. It was actually one of her rules. The girls piled into the three cars, and Emma Grace brought blankets to sit on and a big basket of Mosella's ham sandwiches and a container of tea. Because Miss Pearl had the reputation for having the prettiest girls in San Angelo, people stopped on the streets to watch them go by. Sometimes the girls waved, especially at the men. Miss Pearl considered showing off her girls as a form of advertisement. Today they would drive the southern route out of town, as not to be so conspicuous. Like children going to a circus, they made their way to the springs. Pearl's heart felt light to see the girls laughing and having a good time. Protective of them, like a lioness with her cubs, she knew all of their stories and had grown to love each of the young women like her own. By the time the girls reached Cristoval, they were all singing "There's a Yellow Rose in Texas" and talking about Miss Emily as if she were the greatest hero Texas had ever had.
She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew. You talk about your Clementine and sing of Rosalie, but the yellow rose of Texas is the only girl
Cristoval, relatively small, was quaint and scenic. The emerald green South Concho River flowed serenely through the center of town. Water makes the body weightless and the soul feel clean. Because the mineral springs in Cristoval were believed to have special healing powers, people from all over, even from outside of Texas, went to the bathhouse in Cristoval. Many claimed that the sulfur waters had cured them from their ailments. The sun was warm on this day, and the water felt cool and fresh. The girls took their turns soaking in the water, enjoying their time together. All had stunning figures and looked very attractive in their new bathing suits that Miss Pearl had special ordered for the summer. As she watched her girls, Pearl felt a sense of pride and reflected on all the women she had worked with in Chicago. From Minna and Ada Everlay, Pearl had learned to be selective with her special young women. After each of the girls had finished her time in the sulfur baths, one by one, they put on their sandals to walk to the low water crossing on the south side of town. Little Julie Marie had been waiting with her grandmother to share a picnic with her mommy and her friends.
Hi, Mommy. I love you, Mommy.
Pearl had waited for all the girls to finish soaking in the baths and was the last one to arrive at the crossing. The shade of the lush pecan trees protected the lily pads from the heat of the West Texas sun as they rested languidly on top of the South Concho water. When Pearl saw Julie Marie, she handed the little girl various colors of yarn dolls she had already made.
Thank you kindly.
We'll make some more dolls later if you like.
You are a nice lady. I love to make yarn dolls.
Betsy had brought a sketch pad and pencils, and Lucy brought a canvas and pastels. It was a perfect day to paint the picturesque landscape, vibrant with the vivid colors of spring. Did you know there is an art camp here in Cristoval? The camp is becoming quite well known. One art teacher came all the way from Spain. Many of the art students that attend the camp are women. I believe both of you have a natural talent, and I think you could benefit from what the camp has to offer. I heard about it from Mr. Green. His ranch is not far from here, and he is quite a character. He once told me that his father used to say, if you were to put a roof over the city of San Angelo, it would be one giant bordello. Emma Grace found a place to lay down their blankets for their picnic. Mozella had packed big green dill pickles from the general store, fruit, fresh carrots, and ham sandwiches made with love. Anyone hungry?
Famished. I'm ready to eat.
Redbird freed her red hair from her bathing cap and shook it loose.
Count me in. The water feels great.
Watching her fluff up her curls, Pearl could not help but think how stunning Red was. With her long, slender legs, she swayed a graceful, slow rhythm when she walked, like poetry in motion. Annabelle sat on a blanket with her mother and daughter, several yards away, playing with the yarn dolls Pearl had made for little Julie Marie. The girls were enjoying the peacefulness of the South Concho River, the sunshine making the air warm on their skin as they watched the sun's reflection sparkling like diamonds on the water. Girls, have you ever heard about Susie Poontang? Ginger nearly choked on her sandwich.
What's Poontang, Ginger? I want to know.
Oh my gosh, Poontang! I know what it is. I heard Dusty tell Jesse Tommy Lee ain't gonna get no Poontang tonight. I think he was talking about you, Emma Grace.
Emma Grace blushed.
Tommy Lee was a perfect gentleman.
I knew a man back home in Kentucky who used to tell my daddy, think I'll go down to Miss Pauline's and get my bowl polished. Didn't know what it meant at the time, but now I do. Sometimes men are funny that way and have funny sayings, especially about sex.
Okay, I think I figured out what Poontang is. Tell us about Susie Poontang, Miss Pearl. I'm sure this has to be good.
I remember the day Susie Poontang came to the Everlay house. One of Miss Ada's multimillionaire clients had been telling the sisters about an Asian girl working for Madame Julie at the Shanghai. He was quite adamant. You absolutely have to have her here. The rumor is she is comparable to a fine work of art. This particular client spent a lot of money at the Everleigh Club and had given the sisters each a $5,000 bonus at Christmas. Therefore, upon his request, Ada and Minna decided to check out Miss Susie Poontang. They learned that she had begun her career soliciting clients from doorways in Shanghai, China.
She was a long way from home.
When Susie learned that a group of girls were going to Chicago in America to work in a bordello called the Shanghai that specialized in Asian women, she decided to join them. But before she left, she had a cluster of roses tattooed several inches below her navel. When Susie arrived in America, she came up with a brilliant idea. "Hey, lover boy," she would say, "how would you like to see a work of art more beautiful than the Mona Lisa at the Louvre in Paris?" Then for a $5 fee, she gave her clients a magnifying glass to gaze upon her rose tattoo.
I have never even seen a tattoo.
Neither have I.
Because the Shanghai brothel was a little too sleazy for the millionaire client, he begged for the Everleigh sisters to hire Susie Poontang. The man, certainly anxious to experience her many talents, was not willing to lower himself to visit the Shanghai. Because he was so generous and the sisters were good business ladies, Ada insisted her sister comply with their client's request. The afternoon that Minna visited Madame Julie, she learned that Susie was one of her best girls and brought in a healthy revenue. The men paid $10 to spend time with her. After agreeing to make compensation to cover her losses, Minna hired Miss Susie Poontang.
But I thought the Everleigh Club was first class. Sounds like she might have been a bit rough around the edges.
You are exactly right, Lucy. Minna put her with my friend Doll for a crash course on the rules of the Everleigh House. I remember the sisters had to sneak her up the back stairs to avoid any of the girls seeing her and becoming upset. Some of them knew about Susie and might not have liked the competition. She and Doll spent that first night together.
Did you know her very well?
I knew nothing about her before she came to the Everleigh Club. Later, Doll told us she could never forget her night with Susie Poontang. Although she gave Susie an education in Everleigh etiquette, apparently Susie taught Doll some new tricks as well. Doll always did like women more than men. Both women got an education that night.
Sounds like fun.
I must say, I did not have the opportunity to know her well. You see, Susie Poontang only lasted one night.
One night?
Yes, just one night. The millionaire client was so impressed with her talents that he whisked her to his Northside mansion and married her within a week. As my friend Doll put it, it was a done deal when he found those roses blooming at the gateway to ecstasy. Miss Pearl smiled as she recalled cute, feisty little Susie Poontang. I remember all the girls showering Minna and Ada with kisses when Susie left. Her new husband compensated the sisters greatly for his new bride. I guess you can say hers ended like a Cinderella story. Susie Poontang became legendary.
Hey, I just thought of something. Do you think the term getting laid came from the Everleigh House?
Some people say so. Wealthy men used to say things like, "I'm going to get Everleigh tonight," when they bragged to their friends about spending money with the butterflies there. The rest of the day was spent relaxing after an enjoyable weekend with the cowboys. Some of the girls went swimming and some basked in the sunshine. Ever since Coco Chanel had gone to the French Riviera and returned home with a tan, the latest fashion in high society was to have a little sun glow on the skin. Harmony picked up her guitar and began singing some old Celtic folk songs.
All in the merry month of May, when the green buds they were swelling, William Green on his deathbed lay for the love of Barbara Allen. He sent his servant to the town, to the place where she was dwelling, saying, love, there is a call for you, if your name is Barbara Allen. She was very slowly getting up, and very slowly young man, I think you're dying. Don't you remember the other day when you were in town a-drinking? You drank a health to the ladies around and slighted Barbara Allen. Oh, yes, I remember the other day when I was in town a-drinking. I drank a health to the ladies around, but my love to Barbara Allen. He turned his pale face to the wall, and death was in him dwelling. Adieu, adieu to my friends all, be kind to Barbara Allen. When she got into miles of town, she heard the death bells ringing. They rang so clear as if to say, hard-hearted Barbara Allen. So she looked east and she looked west and saw the cold corpse coming. She says, come round, you nice young man, and let me look upon you. The more she looked, the more she grieved, until she burst out crying. Perhaps I could have saved his life, who now is here a-lying. Oh, mother, come make my bed, and make it both soft and narrow. For sweet William died today, and I will die tomorrow. Oh, father, come dig my grave. Oh, dig it deep and narrow. For sweet William died in love, and I will die in sorrow. Sweet William was buried in the old church tomb. Barbara Allen was buried in the William's heart grew a red rose out of Barbara Allen's a briar. They grew and grew to the old church tower, and they could not grow any higher. And at the end tied a true lover's knot, and the rose wrapped around the briar.
I love songs that tell a story. Poor William.
He should have treated her better. He slighted her in front of his friends. Not a good thing to do.
At 4 o'clock, Miss Pearl was ready to leave. Mosella would have dinner ready at 7 sharp, and Pearl was expecting some out-of-town businessmen later that evening. Time to gather up your things, girls. This has been a good day. Annabel decided to stay with her mother a few days and ride the stagecoach back to San Angelo on Thursday. Within 15 minutes, the caravan of beautiful women headed back to town.